According to Badil's own account, there's a sort of elective affinity there that people, they help each other out through later careers, and this is how Zionist ideas are replicated in adult life.
Sure, it really is like an old boys' network then, from what you're saying. But Tony, what do you make of the allegations of racism that's been made against the likes of David Badil and others? I mean, you think is it fair to link that to Zionism? From what David's saying, it certainly does seem fair. I mean, what's your thoughts?
Well, yes, because black people and Arabs really are the untermention in a sense. So Badil started his career blacking up as a black person and then making himself into the object of a joke, I mean, which he transferred to people like Jason Lee, the famous footballer.
Yes, indeed.
And I think other comedians have done likewise who are Zionists as well. Sacha Baron Cohen, for example, also blacking up. So, yes, I mean, this was a staple of music hall comedy in Britain and America in the 30s and the 40s. And again, it had racist roots in the Deep South. So, I mean, that's the tradition they come from. But if you think of Israel today, it's a replica of the Deep South in it with its Jim Crow laws.
I mean,
if you're a Palestinian, you can't live in most of Israel. It's barred, you know. Hundreds of Jewish communities are Jewish only.
Well, listen, I'm afraid we are out of time. Thank you, Tony, for joining us today and giving us the benefit of your knowledge. And obviously, thanks again to David, our resident expert. Unfortunately, we're out of time. Thanks for joining us today. We'll be back next week with more investigation and analysis on Palestine Declassified. So until next time, this is Chris Williamson saying bye for now.
In the limelight. Today, on the dictates of the US and European regimes, the world body has long stopped even its toothless verbal condemnation of the Israeli regime's desecration of Islamic sanctities, says Kahan International Staff Writer in an article published under the heading Arab Regime's Treason Emboldening Zionist Attacks on Al-Aqsa. Stay tuned for more. The consequences of the Muslim world's ignoring of the declaration of the Organization of the Islamic Cooperation, OIC, to observe August 21st, the anniversary of the sacrilegious arson attack at Al-Aqsa Mosque in 1969, as World Mosque Day, have become obvious today, with the despicable Zionists feeling emboldened in the further desecration of Islam's third holiest site. Recently, on the 53rd anniversary of that tragic arson attack, gangs of armed Zionists, encouraged by their alliance with the reactionary Arab regimes, stormed the Al-Aqsa Mosque to hold Talmudic rituals, even as the Palestinian Islamic Resistance Movement, Hamas, issued a statement apprising the Ummah of dire situation in Beit al-Muqaddas. The Islamic Republic of Iran, which decades earlier had initiated the move at the OIC, observed, as usual, the World Mosque Day to denounce the Zionist regime's crimes against humanity and reaffirm support for the oppressed people of the Zionist usurped land of Palestine. Lebanon's legendary anti-terrorist movement, the Hezbollah, as well as Yemen's Ansarullah, led government in Sana'a, also observed the World Mosque Day and renewed their allegiance to the Palestinian defenders to help liberate Al-Aqsa from Zionist occupation. But most of the Muslim countries were mute, with only some non-governmental organizations commemorating the anniversary of the tragedy. As for reactionary Arab regimes sitting in the lap of U.S. along with their newfound Zionist cousins, the reports from Occupy Palestine failed to arouse whatever is left of their Muslims' conscience and were viewed as mere amusement. The recent spectacle of the godless gangs trampling the sacred compound of the Haram al-Sharif with their boots on was a shock to the local Muslims as well as to the Palestinian Christians who recently lost their prominent journalist Shirin Abu Aghle to a bullet from an Israeli regime troop and who in 1969 had joined their Islamic compatriots in dousing the flames of the arson attack despite the hurdles thrown in the way by Israeli regime troops. In Tehran, Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesperson tweeted, "Resistance is the sole way to save Palestine, and Al-Aqsa Mosque and all mosques across the globe will remain the center of anti-Zionist resistance until the full liberation of Palestine." The Hamas statement from Gaza read, "The occupied city of Beit al-Muqaddas, including the Al-Aqsa Mosque, is the core of the Palestinian struggle against Israeli occupation deliberate attacks. We reiterate that we will keep defending it with all means possible, including comprehensive resistance until liberation and return." It added, "The crime of burning the blessed Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Israeli occupation and Zionist aggressors' ongoing crimes against our land, our people, and our holy sites will not break the Palestinian people's determination to stand against Israeli crimes, but rather would ignite the flame of resistance and make us firmly adhere to our legitimate rights until liberation and return home." In 1969, on August 21st, Australian Zionist Dennis Michael Rohan had sneaked into the Al-Aqsa Mosque and set fire to the 800-year-old wooden ivory pulpit, which was badly burnt, along with the southeastern ceiling, as were the ornamental mosaics and two marble pillars between the dome and the mihrab. The fire also burned the altar of Prophet Zachariah and the place of worship of 40 other prophets, damaging an area of nearly 1,500 square meters. Both Muslim and Christian Palestinians joined ranks and rushed to douse the flames, but Israeli regime forces prevented their entry. After short but fierce clashes, they made their way into the sacred sanctuary and started to tackle the fire. After the fire extinguishers failed to work, they looked for sources of water but found the pumps broken and the hoses cut by the Zionists. The Muslim and Christians then quickly banded together to form a human chain and used buckets and other small containers to bring water to the building. The UN Security Council, which on September 15, 1969, passed Resolution 271 under pressure from Muslim countries to condemn the Zionist regime by 11 votes to none with 4 abstentions, made mention of previous resolutions regarding the Geneva Conventions and the occupation status of Beit al-Muqaddas, but had done nothing concrete. Today, on the dictates of the US and European regimes, the world body has long stopped even its toothless verbal condemnation of the Zionist regime's desecration of Islamic sanctities. The result has been growing acts of blasphemy by the Zionists, who are now in an unholy alliance with the treacherous Arab regimes, which have no regard for the sanctity of Al-Aqsa Mosque. Thus, as Iran, Palestinians and the rest of the Islamic resistance forces insist, because of the rejection of a peaceful solution to the chronic question by the so-called defenders of democracy, armed struggle is the only way for liberation of Al-Aqsa Mosque and Beit al-Muqaddas.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. We are looking at human beings in the Quran. How does Allah Almighty see me and you? So sometimes we are looked at in a positive light, and sometimes we are looked at in a negative light. We are continuing the episodes that we've been saying that Allah is looking at us favorably and with a, you know, a more brighter projectors and lights. So let us continue. We got up to point number 10. We as human beings enjoy all the blessings that this earth has to offer. All right? So, in fact, let me make this just even more bigger. Everything in the universe was created for me and you. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا. Whatever's in the heavens, whatever's on earth is for you. And another verse is, whatever in the sea is also for you. Now, as a human being, seriously, what else could you ask for? When Allah is just simply giving you everything that you need. I mean, you can go to the celestials, you can go out of space, you can go to other planets if you can, and you can, basically Allah says, yeah, sure, you can, they are for you, under your command. You want to go to the depths of the sea? Yes, sure, for you. And, you know, you want to go the bottom of earth? Then also it's for you. So which means, like, as human beings, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, I mean, so much gifts and bounties and blessings that we can ever even mention or even say or count. Allah says in the Quran, وَأَن تَعْدُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. Even if you want to count the blessings of Allah, you will not be able to. So don't bother. Now, the idea is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created everything on this earth for me and you. Now, obviously, that's a very positive aspect, because if I love you so much that I make you the center of my world, then obviously I will put everything I have under your disposal. What an eye. I mean, just fair, right? And so you can see how much Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves His servants, that He actually given us so much, right? Moving on. Number 11. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created human beings in order that they would worship Him alone and be obedient to Him as their major responsibility. I mean, look, Allah in the Quran clearly He says, there's everything that's created worships Allah. Okay? Birds, animals, plants, animate objects, everything that exists worships Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the verse says. But there are two different types of worship. Sometimes you are programmed to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sometimes you choose to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously those who worship Allah out of choice are more superior, more higher than those who don't have that choice. Now, as humans and jinn, we've been given one task and one task only, and that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, Allah says in the Quran, chapter 51, verse 56, He says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And surely and merely and indeed, I only created man and jinn and men, to do one thing and one thing only, to worship me. That's it, as simple as it. We were created to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, obviously, the word worship, ibadah, here does not just mean that me prostrating and bowing to Allah in salah, but actually it's more comprehensive, this word of ibadah. So keep that in mind, right? Now, let us take a short break and then we will continue right after.
Dear listeners, you are listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. So just before the break, we were saying that as human beings, we are given one task and one task only, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this worship, obviously, part of it is knowledge, seeking ilm, part of it is akhlaq, morals and ethics, part of it is fiqh, jurisprudence and laws. And so all these things we've been told to do, which no other creature has been given. So it's a great honor, right? Number 12, human beings do not appreciate themselves except in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the thought of Him. We only have value and we will only be considered if we keep Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as our main objective and our core. The minute we leave this notion and we forget it, the minute we fall apart. Allah says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Do not be like those who forgot Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and whom He has also forgotten. And not just that, but He made them forget themselves. In the sense that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not consider me or you, or does not look at us, we are no longer humans. We obviously become animalistic creatures. We just seek our desires and we seek to devour our prey. That's sadly a lot of people in the world today. Millions, if not billions of people, have this notion. They forgot about Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them forget themselves, made them forget their humanity. So being connected to Him and being always reminded that He is your Lord, He is your Creator, that you and I are with Him, then that's always a blessing from Allah. This is always an honor as a positive aspect that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me and you. And number 14, human beings are not exclusively concerned with material motivations. In other words, material needs are not the only stimulant for them. as human beings. We don't just operate by cars and money and houses and what have you, or clothes and brands. We don't work by that. We make an effort to seek a higher life and aim for something that's higher. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says the greatest thing or the greatest honor or objective and aim a human being can seek is that when he returns to me, being pleased and me pleased with him. Allah says, Ya ayyuha an-nafs al-mutma'inna irji' ila rabbiki radiyatan mardiya. All soul of a human being, come back to your Lord, you being pleased with what Allah has given you or will give you, and you are pleased with your Lord, and your Lord is pleased with you, right? So sometimes Allah is pleased with me, that's one thing, but me pleased with Allah, how does that work? Which means, obviously, some people reach that capacity where Allah says, have I pleased you? And you're like, yes, Lord, you have indeed. And which is one of the greatest honors. And actually, in the tafsir of this ayah, it says this verse was revealed for Imam al-Husayn alayhi as-salam. And obviously, this will require a lot of interpretation and ta'wil and what have you. So we will leave it up to here. And inshallah, we will continue this topic in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. اللهم صل على محمد وآله اللهم صل على محمد وآله Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and condolences to you all on the martyrdom anniversary of the survivor of the tragedy of Karbala, Imam Zainul Abidin or Imam Sajjad, peace be upon him. Let us now ponder on a wise statement from him. One who is content with whatever God has destined for him is the most wealthy and needless person.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Cultural news. Social news. Scientific news. Artistic news. With delight.
Japanese plastic food artisans are showcasing their mouth-watering artificial creations at an exhibition in Japan's capital city, Tokyo. From the Leaning Tower, a pizza, to fish slicing and cooking, or even the quirky stacked pancakes, you can find almost everything at the exhibit. Other sculptors, including a deep-fried shrimp with full-breaded legs scaling a mountain of shredded cabbage like a tiger. Another creation on display is a Tetris game made of chicken. Plastic food artists get really excited for the exhibition each year as they are given a chance to practice their own spin on creativity, bringing food to life with curious characters.
So normally we have to follow orders from clients. We take their views on board when we're making items. Normally that's our work. But for the competition, you can use your imagination. How it finally ends up is totally up to you. I like that aspect of it.
There are some 60 sculptors on display. Some are silly, but others highlight the artist's skills. The models were made with the same careful detail as the rock-solid noodle soups and crispy-looking plastic snacks on display outside Japanese restaurants. There is a lucrative business for them in Japan.
Deforest management plays a key role in mitigating climate change. Like many world countries, China has accelerated environmental and social structural changes in urban spaces to deal with this pertinent issue. The Donggu Forest Park is one such project that has provided city dwellers enough space to breathe. It comes into being from what local people usually called rotten woods. The park on the northern bank of the Xialinge River covers an area of nearly 120 hectares. Nobody would come there before, as the place was full of flies and mosquitoes. But now, with the environment improved and water cleaned in the river, the place has turned into a wonderland, attracting locals and even foreign tourists.
Now the sky is blue, the water clean and the air fresh, with green greeting you wherever you go. The elderly play Tai Chi or do bodybuilding exercises here. Young people play football, basketball and table tennis.
Over the past 20 years, a large number of cities in China have undergone a brief but rapid urban expansion. Most of these cities are now facing social problems such as an aging population and a high prevalence of chronic diseases. A comprehensive environmental improvement program in the area was initiated in 2014 in order to create space for those who want to take a break from their everyday works.
Whilst not being as painful as a broken limb, animals like humans suffer from chronic and acute pain from gum infections, broken teeth, and bacterial spread through the circulation. A 16-year-old elephant in Pakistan is one such case. Madhubala, suffering for years from a dental infection caused by a broken tusk, has finally got relief thanks to vets, dentists. Named after a legendary Indian actress, Madhubala's eyes were taped shut, her legs tied to support her during sedation and subsequent treatment at a Karachi zoo. The vets had to use drills and other heavy surgical tools to extract the infected tusk. She is one of four African elephants being treated in Karachi by an eight-member team from Global Animal Welfare Group, Four Paws. A Pakistani court last year asked Four Paws to assess the health of the animals after local animal rights activists raised concerns about their well-being. England's Paradise Wildlife Park welcomes its new guest, an endangered red panda cub. The mother, Tilly, gave birth to the cub just 1 month after she lost her breeding partner, Nampang. Experts say Tilly had been under a breeding project for 4 years. The cub has been named Little Red, and his birth is being celebrated as a, quote, symbol of hope. Red pandas are classed as an endangered species and are on the red list of the International Union for Conservation of Nature. The bushy-tailed bamboo munchers dwell in high-altitude Asian forests, and their population is now fewer than 2,500. Lightning strikes are a very powerful and misunderstood force of nature that we all often see being used in films. A spectacular lightning strike has illuminated the sky over the Scottish town of Dundee. A video from an eyewitness that captured the hypnotic scene has been shared on several social media platforms. The lightning in the clip can be seen sending several bolts in opposite directions. Below, a church spire is silhouetted against the lightning flashes. But lightning is not always spectacular, as sometimes it causes fire to tower and high rises. Last month, a wind turbine caught fire after being struck by a lightning bolt in North Texas, United States.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news, and more from every corner of the world.
Forestry authorities in southwestern China have opened a new canteen for wild Asian elephants in a bid to stop them wandering into villages. The canteen in Yunnan province provides the animals with attractive and nutritious meals while exploring man-animal harmonious coexistence. During these years, the province has explored multiple ways to reduce the encounters between humans and elephants and try to keep the animals away from farmers' crops. There are now approximately 1,400 hectares of dining halls for elephants, with many expanding from 100 to 240, such as corn, rice and sugarcane. They are planted on a large scale and within easy reach of the elephants. The location of such canteens is extremely selective, usually away from villages and major roads, and the chefs are locals.
Stunning scenes in Spain as the last supermoon of the year illuminates the night sky amid fireworks and fairs marking the start of festivities for a public holiday. In Malaga, fireworks left the sky a mix of colours against the bright moon. There was also a spectacle of drones that lightened the sturgeon moon. Locals in the Canary Islands also celebrated the three-day holiday by lighting up a Ferris wheel as the full moon beamed beautifully in the sky. If the moon is within 10% of its closest distance to Earth at the moment of full moon, it is called a supermoon. The supermoon has various hues and appears bigger and brighter than when the moon is at its farthest point from Earth. Have you ever heard of fighting nature with nature? Well, that's what the San Francisco metro system in the U.S. did to stop pigeons from overrunning the place. The station has hired a hawk as the new guard to patrol the area. Pac-Man is a five-year-old Harris's hawk who has taken up the perch at the station. In terms of experience, he is pretty new, as he finished training only 9 months ago. The station recently renovated its building, installing netting and spikes to prevent pigeons from nesting. But these birds still seem to find their way to hang around. So with the Falconer Force, Ricky Ortiz and his hawk were hired this summer to keep the pigeons at bay.
So a typical day is we get here, we make our round, we start off down in the bottom inside the facility, making sure there's no pigeons hanging out in there. And then we work our way up here to the platforms and just check the ledges and the roof and make sure that they're not trying to sneak in on us and keep them out. And he does a pretty good job of that.
The team patrols 3 days a week and Pac-Man is allowed to swoop in and scare any pigeons sitting around. The Falconer says less than half of the pigeons they left after the first week of Pac-Man flying and establishing the territory. Commuters and station managers say they also noticed the difference. The Falconer says he usually keeps his feathery friend happy on the job by giving him snacks throughout the day. This also encourages the hawk not to feast on the pigeons and local rodents.
Technology helps transform the global food production system and mitigates its impact on the environment. China's autonomous region of Tibet is turning barren land into fertile one using greenhouse technology. Once removed, Beinan County is now the largest off-season vegetable supplier in Tibet. The region has taken advantage of its highland conditions to develop a state-of-the-art agricultural structure. Beinong has now more than 2,200 modern vegetable greenhouses and nearly 12,000 hectares of planting area, some built at unimaginable altitude. But one cannot deny the role of railways and highway transport for making this county a hub for organic vegetables. The income of locals has also been significantly improved, and they are now living a happy and prosperous life. If you're a private collector of wild animals, there is good news for you. A Pakistani zoo is auctioning off a dozen lions due to a lack of money to feed them and a space to house them. Lahore Safari Zoo currently has so many big cats that they have to take turns accessing paddocks. Officials say auctioning them will free up space and also reduce expenses. Zoo is currently housing 29 lions. The lions auctioned this week will be between 2 to 5 years of age. Each big cat is estimated to fetch around 150,000 Pakistan rupees. That's not too much, as some zookeepers claim. Even conservationists have expressed anger over auctioning lions to private collectors instead of transferring them to other zoos. Happy news for zoo goers in Nicaragua. Two adorable baby tapirs are born at a country's national zoo south of Managua, adding attractions to the visitors. Two endangered tapirs, a male and a female, were born hours apart at the weekend. In a video shared by the zoo, one of the newborns is seen suckling and walking near her mother. The director of the zoo says the babies are yet to be named but are in perfect health. Tapirs inhabit jungle and forest regions of South and Central America, with one species inhabiting Southeast Asia. They look something like pigs with trunks, but they are actually related to horses and rhinos. Nicaragua launched a project that seeks to conserve this animal in danger of extinction due to hunting and the destruction of natural habitat. Now we'll take you to mine-riddled French island, Chazoms, which is emerging from the ruins and gradually turning into workers' paradise. Chazoms, close to the port city of Saint-Malo, has an amazing landscape but remains uninhabited as it saw a devastating bombardment by the Allies during the World War II. The Nazi-occupied island was victim of the most bombings per square meter. Known as Martyred and Forbidden Island, it was opened only in 2018 after extensive demining efforts allowed the opening of a marked path. Now, every year, thousands of day trippers make the short boat journey, marveling at the spectacular maritime views and flourishing wildlife there. The safe area still makes up just 3% of the island, but it lets visitors wander between rusty cannons and bunkers. Some workers say they hope the trail will be lengthened to allow a complete tour of the island.
The same is the light of guidance and the ship of salvation.
IRIB English Radio in the month of Muharram presents Today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, salam. Allah's peace be upon all of you. Thank you very much for joining us. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. In this episode, we're going to speak about crying for Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him. I invite you to join us. كربلا لا زلت كربا وبلا ما لقي عندك يا آل المصطفى كربلا لا زلت كربا وبلا ما لقي عندك يا آل المصطفى كربلا كربلا. Today, Tuesday, is the 25th of Muharram, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 1st of Shahrivar, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 23rd of August, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Chapter Fatir, verse 32 from the Holy Quran, we listen to.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. ثم أورثنا الكتاب الذين اصطفينا من عبادنا فمنهم ظالم لنفسه ومنهم مقتصد ومنهم سابق بالخيرات بإذن الله ذلك هو الفضل الكبير.
Then we caused to inherit the book those we have chosen of our servants. And among them is he who wrongs himself, and among them is he who is moderate, and among them is he who is foremost in good deeds by permission of Allah. That inheritance is what is the great bounty.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
To inherit from the Holy Quran is a great favor of Allah. The election of Allah is wisely. Those who are inheritors of the science of the Quran, who are foremost in good works. In this holy verse, the Quran has referred to an important subject, viz. The bearers of this great heavenly book, the same ones who, after the revelation of the Quran upon the pure hearts of the Prophet, protected and preserved this luminous torch at that time and during later centuries. The weeping of the heaven and earth over Imam al-Hussein in this part. We read in a hadith, the sky wept for 40 days on the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein. Jalaluddin Suyuti writes, since the creation of the world, the heaven and the earth have cried for none else other than two men. The people ask him, do not the heaven and earth cry for mu'mineen? He replied, when they are virtuous, his privilege is linked to his status and deeds. He then asked them, if they knew how the heaven and the earth cries, the people replied, in the negative. Therefore, he said, it becomes fiery and red. just as the red boiling oil. The day when Yahya ibn Zakaria was martyred, the sky had gone red and blood was dripping from it. And the sky had also got red the day Hussein was martyred.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with shedding tears in favor of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. We find that in the case of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, shedding tears is very much recommended. Please note carefully that the least aggrieved person may do is shedding tears over losing a beloved one. This is the least amount of sympathy. In the time, right after the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and up to almost the end of the Umayyad dynasty, in the time of the Umayyad dynasty, we find that people, especially Shi'is, were strongly prohibited from showing the least sympathy toward the tragic martyrdom fate of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. So we find that the least reaction was shedding tears. Based on this, we find that the fourth infallible Imam, Ali ibn al-Hussein al-Sajjad, salamullah alayhi, constantly shed tears for the tragic martyrdom of his father and the rest of the Ashura martyrs. Now we find that Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam lost his father, Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam, his paternal uncle, Abu al-Fazl Abbas, and his elder brother Ali ibn al-Hussein, Ali al-Akbar, and his youngest brother Ali al-Asghar. So you find that such a person who was grieved, who lost such a noble father like Imam al-Hussein on the day of Ashura, such a person wouldn't remain still, wouldn't remain silent. However, in the time of the Umayyad dynasty, it was a really critical situation. We still cannot imagine the hardships and all the afflictions imposed on the Ahl al-Bayt and on the fourth infallible Imam Ali ibn al-Hussein al-Sajjad salam alayhi after the martyrdom of his father Imam al-Hussein al-Salam on Ashura. Yet in the time of the Umayyad dynasty, the least reaction was simply shedding tears. So, and as shedding tears wasn't like, for example, holding demonstrations in streets or, for example, raising slogans in open places, shedding tears was really a peaceful and non-aggressive kind of reaction and sympathetic reaction that people might express in view of the martyrdom of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam.
On the month of Muharram and the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Hussein alayhi salam and his family and companions, be with today's special. Every day from IRIB English Radio. People rise up and mourn, it is Ashura. See the struggle of Hussein in the Kabbalah. The history and philosophy of Azza al-Hussein. The first Majlis al-Hussein was recited in the marketplace of Kufa by a lady from whose head her veil had been ripped off, whose hopes and aspirations had been destroyed on the blood-wrenched sands of Karbala, but whose indomitable spirit stepped forward to free the Islamic values from the yoke of tyranny and oppression. She was the first one to answer the call of Imam al-Hussein. Standing on her unsaddled camel, she looked at the multitude rejoicing the victory of Yazid. As soon as people saw her, they were quiet. They knew that a historic moment for Kufa had arrived. Looking straight at them, the daughter of Ali said, "Woe upon you, O people of Kufa! Do you realize which piece of Muhammad's heart you have severed, which pledge you have broken, whose blood you have shed, whose honor you have desecrated? It is not just Imam al-Hussein, whose headless body lies unburied on the sands of Karbala. It is the heart of the Holy Prophet. It is the very soul of Islam."
As-salamu alayka ya Abu Abdullah. وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد من زيارتك السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين الذين بذلوا مهجهم دون الحسين عليه السلام
The reward of attending the gatherings wherein the ordeals of Ahlul Bayt are told. Imam Reza, peace be upon him, said, "He who sits in the gathering in which our affairs and our path and aims are discussed and revived, his heart shall not die on the day of judgment when hearts shall die of fear." Similarly, Imam Sadiq, peace be upon him, once said to Fudail, "Do you sit together, talk and discuss amongst yourselves?" Fudail replied, "Yes." The Imam then said, "I approved of these sittings. So keep our issue, imamate, alive. May Allah exhibit mercy on those who revive our issue and mission." سید عباس رضویان
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم السلام علیک یا ابا عبدالله Peace and salutations upon you O master of martyrs یا سید الشهداء We talked about benefiting from زیارت عاشورا Brothers and sisters We talked about living a good life living a very happy life having سعادت having felicity We talked about managing our pains. We talked about being able to, from Ashura, manage our pains and, inshallah, maximize our joys, our spiritual joys. This is happiness. This is the definition of happiness. With spirituality comes great joy, we talked about. And this is the other side of ubudiyat. The effect of ubudiyat, the effect of worshipping God and following Imam Hussein. Following the Prophet of Islam and following Imam Hussein, we learn that it also has effects. And when you think, when you want to have ultimate joy, whenever you think that God gives you trials and tribulations because you are His servant and He is testing you, you lean into your difficulties. You say, well, Allah has tested me, therefore let me pass this test. Then when Allah gives you pleasures, when Allah gives you a good life, You are worshiping Him, you are an abd of Him, you are a slave of Him. And you begin to fulfill things, your entire life becomes full of joy and full of nur and light because you are now His abd. Your entire life becomes, how is Allah pleased? What does He want from me? What is His command? What does He not want from me? What does He want me to stay away from? And this brings for you great joy that I am a slave of God. I am happy that I'm following His commands. This is why I have been created, to do taslim.
Wa
dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today's special. Thank you very much for joining us. Keep us in your prayers and morning gatherings. Fi amanillah. Allahumma ij'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati mamata Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
This is IRIB.